Hi, everyone. Welcome to America Trends. Thank you for being with us for the hour. I'm Amy Fuller. Thank you for being with the U2 America TV network and those of you listening to us on Biz Talk Radio. Trending in the news this hour, tens of thousands of migrant families from Central America are flooding our southern border. And Border Patrol says, once again, we are at our breaking point. Homeland Security Secretary Kirstjen Nielsen saying it is getting worse and worse. Last month, she says, we apprehended 75,000 people, the highest in over a decade. That's 1 month, 75,000 people. And Nielsen says we are on track to apprehend nearly 100,000 this month alone. And this video we showed you a few days back from Mexican Andy, whom we talked to, and he was just standing there. And he was at the border at the beach, Playa de Tijuana, I believe it's called, near San Diego. And he saw these people just starting to cut the mesh wall and run in. So these 52 migrants who cut this hole in the fence near the beach in San Diego, caught on camera by Mexican Andy Martin, they were all caught, 52. This Border Patrol agent was overwhelmed. He called in other people. They all claimed asylum. So this is just one little instance. Family apprehensions are up 700%. And because it takes hours to process each person, there are fewer and fewer agents actually on the border watching and guarding. We wanted to show you something pretty important, we thought, from Fox News' William LaJeunesse, talking to some people who are seeing all this firsthand.
Between 25 up to 40% of the agents are assigned non-patrol duties today, processing, transport, or care and feeding of the family units of everybody, but the family units and the kids take on an additional burden.
Smugglers also use children as decoys. This weekend, these 6 and 9-year-old girls were dropped over the fence. Smugglers then moved 10 migrants just a mile away. The chief says gotaways, those you want to catch but you can't, are up 50%. Figures show recent 73-day period, DHS released 84,000 immigrant families across the southwest border. Now, because there's no shelter space and court rulings forcing these people to be released, they're dropping them off at bus stations and churches. Here in San Diego, some nonprofits opened their own shelter to help migrants stay a few days until they can get a bus or plane ticket to live with relatives until their court date.
It has been a nonstop flow of people from anywhere from 50 to 140 people a day. And sometimes ICE will call us and tell us how many people are coming. Sometimes they won't.
So anybody who thinks this is a manufactured crisis, as the Democrats say, let's just say again, this month alone, 100,000 people are expected again to flood through. And ICE says they used to get maybe 1 in 2 people. Now they're saying 1 in 3. And we don't know who's coming here. So this is just part of all that. We'll be watching this in coming days. But President Trump, his administration, did get a win today. The Supreme Court is now backing the administration in deportation cases. They are backing the government's power to detain people who are facing possible deportation because of crimes they committed. This goes against the wishes of all those sanctuary cities, sanctuary counties, sanctuary states who try to protect illegals who commit crimes besides the initial crime of sneaking in and being here illegally in the first place. So the case that they're talking about, and here's all the Twitter reaction from today, this focuses on non-citizen legal residents who serve a criminal sentence, get released, and later are arrested by federal immigration agents. In a 5-4 ruling, the court said those people are not entitled to a bond hearing and the possibility of re-release while the Homeland Security Department presses its case for deportation. And this does, in fact, reverse a ruling by that San Francisco-based Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, where everybody on the left tries to get their cases made so they can get these left-leaning judges to approve their cases. Justice Sam Alito said the lower court ruling made a mockery of federal immigration laws. And you're with America Trends. We'll talk more about this with Tom DelVaccaro coming up, and we are back right after this. We know it's so important to put our best foot forward when it comes to, well, social media, life, friends, connections, and especially in the job interview. We are so pleased to welcome to America Trends this hour our friend Suzanne Cretel, who is the president of Seasoned Executive Search. Check it out here online. Suzanne has a lot of great answers for us when it comes to, you know, sort of we may not know, Suzanne, the best things that we have going for us that other people will sort of welcome. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
We're so glad. But I love this topic and I love what you do, because we may not even realize the things that we are neglecting to tell people that matter oh so much. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit first about what you do, and then we'll get into what can really help our viewers and listeners in getting across, again, their best foot forward. There's no really better way to say it.
Yeah, sure. So really what my favorite thing about my job is I get to connect people, right? I do that for a living. You know, I take someone like you who may call me and say, I'm looking for my next opportunity. We share a conversation. And then next thing I know, I'm getting a client that's asking for that exact, you know, puzzle piece, so to speak. And then I put people together. But I train them and help them get prepared to put their best foot forward so that when they get in front of that person, they are, you know, more prepared and able to move forward in the process and hopefully eventually getting that offer.
So before we even move on, we can say you help companies and businesses and nonprofits probably garner great people, but you also help the individual get to the next right step. So both sides of the coin can contact you for help.
Exactly. And so typically when I'm using my executive recruiting services, that will come, my payment is always from the corporation because they're looking for very specific things and they're needing me to execute on that. Yeah. But, you know, I don't have every job for every person that calls me, right? But I still have something to offer. Mm-hmm. So that's where my coaching side comes in, and I can work with them and talk to them about how we can make sure that they are, just set up for success. And that's what I really like doing, because they don't necessarily realize the little nuances, and they're not necessarily hearing themselves either. So I get to be that external view, and then I can regurgitate it back to them in a way that they can be successful.
People may call you and say, Suzanne, I have A, B, and C abilities and qualities and things that I think are applicable, and here's what I want for my next job. But then you might realize, once you talk to them for a few hours or a few minutes or see some of their background, don't you realize X, Y, and Z are really exceptional, and you should push those too, so people understand, because that's a very special skill.
Well, here's something that happened recently that I think will really paint the picture. So I was talking to this woman who was a referral, and she was in e-commerce, and I do a lot in e-commerce, so I love to talk to people in that realm because I can typically use them more often.
And she's, now, what do you mean you do a lot in e-commerce?
Oh, so I work specifically in my recruiting side for consumer goods. You'll find that most recruiters and headhunters specialize in a specific industry. Okay. So that is mine. And within that, I specialize also in e-commerce and digital, because that's just a real passion of mine, because it's just really exciting and
a
lot going on, right? We all order Amazon.
It's eBay, Etsy.
Yes.
2019, we're
yes.
amazing times.
Yeah, anybody can be an entrepreneur, right? You just open up a marketplace account, and there you go. You've got it.
That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, I was talking to this woman, and she was telling me how much she enjoyed a previous role, which was training. She loved training, and she went on and on about it, probably 10 minutes. I let her go. And then we started talking a little bit more after, and I said, I hate to burst your bubble, but you can incorporate training into any job you have. You can push for, helping somebody out, or ask your manager to have a direct report, so then you can start, really getting some more experience in that work, not only as a manager, but, making that side really stand out for you because you enjoy training.
So she likes training other people and
mentoring
them
training other
and building
people.
Up their
yes.
skills.
But the thing I had to tell her, and this is very unfortunate, is a lot of companies have done away with specific training roles. So I had to burst her bubble a little bit and have that difficult conversation and say, listen, I would, while I enjoy and I hear your passion and I love that about you, I just want you to think about the longevity of your career. And I'd hate for you to get into a position where you find something that's open and then that's the first job that's cut. So you can always incorporate the things you love into the job you have. I want people to actually really remember that, because that's important.
I like that. And you have a really interesting, I could talk to you for a bit longer. We're just going to have you back a lot.
Thanks.
Because right now someone might not be looking for a job or even thinking that that's coming down the pike, but yet it still comes. Or someone may want to change. They might wake up one day and say, I don't like that life is controlling me. I think I want to make my own destiny. Maybe I want to go into e-commerce and things like this. So I think you and I have a lot of great topics for the future. But your dad taught you something that you think would help people, because it really, it's a little profound thing on here's what you're doing and why.
Yeah, so my first job, I went to work for a local drugstore in my tiny town of 10,000 people.
Wait, where?
Shafter. Shafter, California, outside of Bakersfield.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, and so I got the application. It was, you know, one of the forms that you get at like an Office Depot or something in a book. And so I took it home and I was about to fill it out. And my dad said, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm filling out my application." He goes, "No, you're not. You're not going to handwrite it. You're going to type it." And I was like, "What are you talking about, Dad? Nobody types it." You know, I was 16. And so he made me make three copies, and I had to practice typing it three times until I made no mistakes. So I ended up turning in my application, and they called and hired me the next day. And the reason they wanted me so badly is because I typed it. So, and so, while...
That you know, that is such a simple but profound and maybe a number one lesson in excellence. Mm-hmm. The first, you know, what do you say? The first, you make the first, the impression you make in the first 5 seconds.
It's all about the impression.
Right, right.
So anybody can apply for a job. We all apply online now, right? That's a common thing. We can still network and things like that. But what are you doing to prepare for that moment when you get that phone call, for that moment you go in for the interview? Set yourself apart. You know, do the work. And it will, you'll reap the benefits by doing that.
To translate now from handwriting to typing, you don't need to text your thing writing you to and using all the abbreviations we use in texting, because we're all copying what the kids do, and we're all I don't know if we're deteriorating the English language or it's just evolving into whatever the next thing is, but I think it will all go a long way if people really know what it looks like to be professional and not just, you know, like you said, you can do everything on your phone. That can get a little dangerous.
It can, because, you know, I actually have had texts like that or emails, and I'm like, "Did you look at it before you send it?" Because please don't ever do that to my client. I would be mortified.
I think one of the worst things in business is someone sends you a text and maybe they voice it or whatever, and they don't check it. And you're spending 10 minutes trying to decipher what they said, and I don't have time for that. You're fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I've got 30 seconds, so any last minute, and then how we can contact you. And again, we've got to have you back for more of this.
Oh, thanks. So I'm definitely, you can reach me on my website, seasonsearch.com. I'm also on LinkedIn under Suzanne Kretal. I thoroughly enjoy the coaching side of it. And I also love working with, you know, my clients and finding that, you know, purple squirrel, as we call it, that perfect person that eludes us all for that particular position. But it's a real thrill to be able to do this.
Purple squirrel, come back, okay? We'll see you
great.
Soon. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. We're going to come right back to you with some spring trends. With Ashley Allen, and Tom DelVaccaro is up next with political headlines of the day. Stay tuned.
Too much cholesterol in the blood causes plaque buildup in the arteries. Fiber has been scientifically proven to lower cholesterol. Created by Dr. J. Robert Cade, the inventor of Gatorade, Cholesterade promotes probiotic function, supports digestive health, contains all natural flavors, and is gluten-free. In the original case study, participants saw a reduction in bad cholesterol by more than 20%. Cholesterade is the ultimate all-natural digestive aid. I'm a sucker for you.
Say the word and I'll go anywhere blindly. I'm a sucker for you. Do you believe we are in it? We are the first week. The first day of spring is this week. We've made it.
So exciting.
I know, it's so exciting.
I'm ready.
So we have the little voice you're hearing, not in your head, but beside me on the couch, is Ashley Allen. She is a celebrity stylist, fashion stylist, costume designer in film and TV, and she's a style call. She's down from L.A., where all the fancy schmancy people are. So Ashley, thank you for coming to our studio. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Okay. I'm so excited.
We are too. Spring trends, my goodness.
Yes.
It's always exciting. And I especially love... Can I mention first, I love that leopard is one of the trends that you mentioned.
Yes, you're wearing it.
I had a little, but so it's fun because we girls love leopard. We can just pull it out of the closet and we get it for another season for right now, right? Oh, look how fun. See, I feel like you should, it's neat when you put it with like a bold, solid color.
Absolutely. I love leopard print. It's trending again this season. It's leading the pack. And of course, it's like, welcome to the jungle. I'm so excited about it. It is great to throw back to another print. So I love leopard, even paired with floral. She has it paired with a jean jacket and kind of a little rocker graphic tee for a casual look. But I love leopard. Leopard is practically a neutral now. So, you know, if instead of a black flat, throw on a leopard flat for that pop of print. Instead of, you know, a jean, throw on a leopard jean, you know, with a great top. So I even love it back to a solid color to give a pop of print.
I love it. I have to try to not get giddy over girls talking about fashion, so we apologize a little bit ahead of time if I get a little
slight. We're excited.
I know. I see things like Diane von Furstenberg, and I'm an amateur. I'm not a professional like you. But sometimes can you take, like, say I had a leopard dress like this. Say it's a bigger print, and then do I take a smaller print scarf and match it? Like, because you don't want to put too much print on print, and
sure,
they can't be like, are there any specific, like, a science/art of teaming things, I guess is what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And it's actually called pattern play. It's kind of fun to call it pattern play. Mm-hmm. And it's when we mix a print with another print.
Okay.
So actually, not only does leopard look great with floral, it actually looks amazing with plaid or even herringbone of all prints. So I love herringbone too. Isn't that great? And you're going to be seeing a lot of both those prints for spring, but go with the smaller print. If you have a larger print like you have on right now, maybe a smaller, little daintier print to kind of, you know, contrast it. But yeah, definitely go for a smaller print with a larger print, and definitely don't be shy. Print on print is amazing.
I love that. Okay, so what else can we look forward to besides our favorite leopard coming back for the spring of 2019?
2019, and you're gonna die when I tell you this, tie-dye is back.
Tie-dye is back.
That,
early 80s, mid... Oh, look, that's so pretty.
Yes, that is Anna Wintour of Vogue. She's so amazing and so fabulous. She is wearing, again, print on print. Notice she's wearing tie-dye with plaid. So that's
she
a great
really
way to do...
one dress. It just, they sort of mixed it.
It's one dress, and they did two prints on this, the tie-dye and the plaid, which shows, again, you can do print on print pattern play. But I just love this look. It's so chic. It's still that hippie bohemian vibe, but it's just beautiful on her. And she paired it with a nude heel. Here's a little tip for spring. If you want to elongate your leg and make yourself look taller, go with a nude heel.
The nude heel is always so good. It goes with everything. Mm-hmm. It doesn't clash with anything.
It doesn't.
It's professional, and I feel like it always very flattering to the woman.
It's very flattering, especially those petite gals out there, to make your leg look longer and to kind of elongate yourself, wear a nude heel. And you can pair it back to really anything.
I hate to say it, because I don't want to go against what they say is trending, but when they bring in wedges and things like that, I feel like it's not necessarily that, accommodating. It doesn't make the person look pretty, even though it's in style. So I love it when these things come back in with a nice heel that make your leg look nice.
Oh yeah, and another.
I'm getting too specific.
No. And another trend for spring, which I wasn't prepared to talk about, but I'll talk about it real quick, is unique heels. So the blockier the heel, the more artistic the heel, the better. So find a great nude pump with like a little bit of like an artistic heel, maybe a wooden heel, maybe like a carved YSL.
Tori Burch always has the most amazing heels.
Yes.
You can order. I have the funnest thing about people like her, you order online and you think that looks pretty good, but you get it in person when it arrives in the mail, because I like shopping online.
Of course, who doesn't?
It's even better than in person. You're never disappointed. So right. I love that you say that, because that's one of my favorite things. Specifically, fun heels.
Fun heels.
So what else we got? So far, leopard.
Leopard.
Tie-dye,
which is great.
Puffy sleeves.
Puffy sleeves are definitely in, and as you can tell by the photo that we're about to put up, it's not an 80s puff sleeved. It's like a more 1930s, 1920s, little zhuzh on the sleeve.
It looks pretty feminine.
It looks very feminine. It's very flirty. It's so delicate, so soft. I love this little floral top, this printed top. It's just so sweet and so pretty. So go with the unique artistic sleeve this spring. You can't go wrong. And we actually saw this a little bit in the fall. There's a nice puff sleeve as well. We saw it in the fall a little bit, but it's really on the radar for spring.
That's so pretty, because it reminds me, that's sort of the sort of blouson 80s look, where it brings in the lady's waist. There's no shoulder pads there, but it sort of makes your shoulders come out a little bit. It just makes the silhouette look so nice.
Oh, definitely. It kind of gives you that hourglass figure, which is lovely. I love this look, and in neon, which is a huge trend for fall. We'll get to that in a second. But it's in neon, which is great.
What about, I love your little petite feminine jewelry, and what she had on too is so pretty, but a little bit layered. What's going, anything in jewelry that you want to, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I just love all the talk, Ashley.
Oh, I love talking about trends, of course. Jewelry trends that we're gonna see this spring are lucite jewelry. So a lot of translucent lucite jewelry you'll see, and kind of like those artistic heels, we'll see a lot of artistic jewelry. So a lot of like the intricate designs. Pearls are back, but pearls kind of in the more organic shape. and kind of making them into like squares, and making them into squares and chunkier pieces.
And here's that beautiful. You're talking neon's coming up, and plus the jewelry, it's all mixed right there. And I love the neon. Just takes me back to when I was in junior high. You had to have every single color of the neon fuchsia, the green. All those things are so fun, and they're really coming back. We can really do it, Ashley.
Absolutely, you totally can. I'm a big proponent of color. I love color, especially for spring. Put away that brown and that black and that olive green that you're so tired of from the winter and fall, and bring out color. So this is a great little pop of color. If you don't want to go the full neon look, if it's going to be a little too bright for you, go with a pop of color, a pop of neon shoe to like a monochromatic outfit. She's wearing a denim on denim look, and we just popped a little color back to it to just kind of make her involved in the trend without being too loud.
That's a brilliant use because it looks comfortable and casual. It looks like a Kate Spade purse that I've seen around.
A great little tote.
Yeah. And then it's sort of a denim-y look, and then all of a sudden the neon pop just makes it so, she knows what she's doing. And then her cute hair and glasses.
Sure. So if you're not completely sold.
Could we all be so put together?
I know. I wish. I wish. If you're not into the whole full neon trend this season, go with a smaller neon, like a shoe or like a piece of jewelry. Ease your way into it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Ashley Allen, I'm just gonna pop back through. So we've got the leopard. The tie-dye. The puff sleeve, and then the neon.
The neon.
Oh gosh, it's so fun. How'd you get started? Got about 30 seconds. How can we reach you on your website?
I'm at Ash Nicole Allen on Instagram. So it's ASHNICO Allen at Instagram. You can also follow me on Facebook at Ashley Allen. I am also on YouTube, and I do a lot of trend forecastings on YouTube. I also write for a couple publications. So just follow me on Instagram and you'll see all my publications that I contribute to.
And it looks like edmagazine.com, and we can look for your articles. Keep us posted. This was so much fun.
It was so fun.
Spring is here and now we know what to do about it. Ashley Allen, we'll see you next time. Thank you for coming into America Trends. Okay, we're back after this talking about trending political headlines with Tom Del Vaccaro. Stay tuned. I'm a sucker for. It's been 24 hours, I need more hours with you. You spent the week. So many trending political headlines, and we are glad to have our political analyst, Tom Del Vaccaro of Political Vanguard, with us. Boy, he has been busy jet-setting around the globe this week in London, doing this, that, and the other. I was on Fox News a couple times. So, Tom, welcome back. He's the author of The Divided Era, a book you must have on your bookshelf. It's his latest one, and it really does sort of parse how we got to where we are today. And once you look back at the history of it all, you can sort of have a better understanding of how we got to where we are and, maybe do some critical thinking. Right, Tom?
Yeah, thanks so much. It wound its way back into the Amazon top 100 in my category this week through all of my appearances, so I'm pretty happy about it.
Wait, that's outstanding. Yeah, well, people do need to know about it, so I'm really happy for you. So let's just start out a little bit. We love to have you here on America Trends, but what were you doing in London? Let's just talk a little bit about the life and times of Tom Del Vaccaro.
Actually, I was spent 8 days in Florence and Lucca, where my family's from, doing some research. I write history books, so I do want to do a particular book related to Florence. And I was just in a stopover in London, and Fox had me on to talk about why I think Bernie Sanders is going to be the nominee.
So let's just chat about that. That was one of the topics because I know you're on twice this weekend. And I know that you feel strongly that because Bernie has an infrastructure around the country, that that's going to do very well for him. But then we did add the little element of Beto O'Rourke, Robert O'Rourke, of Texas, whom he ran against Ted Cruz and lost this past few months back. And now he's going to run for president, which, Tom, I have to say, Kat Timpf, I have to use her analogy. She said it's like getting cut from the varsity team and deciding you're going to run for the NFL. Which is funny, but he did raise $6 million in his first day online for his campaign. So does that sort of tinge a little bit what you said about Bernie Sanders?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I did an op-ed today about Beto is number one on Fox. So people can go to that.
Wait a minute. Tom's article on Beto is number one on Fox right now. Let's just repeat that.
At least in the opinion section. So, look, Beto O'Rourke, the analogy I use is he's a metaphor for our times because he's like an empty startup. just like you said, oh, I'm Beto O'Rourke. I'm here to run. I took in $85 million and lost. Now it's time to be president. Based on what abilities? He's not a, he hasn't done anything in his life. He got elected to office once. Okay. But in office, he has no legislation to his name. He never was a successful businessman, didn't run a charity, didn't create some great cause like Martin Luther King. There's virtually nothing that he has done, but yet he says, I'm born to be in this. Like he is a perfect millennial entitlement case. You know, I'm here, therefore I should be kind of thing. And, you know, he's just a vacuous startup. He's got nothing, but, you know, the media is playing him up. The internet's playing him up. And that's a metaphor for our times. He's a Insta politician. But he's going to come down to earth because he has some real issues in his past, including being part of a group that hacked websites and stole credit cards. And
oh, the hacking story, that because I know there was some publication that sat on a hacking story, and I never really heard what the hacking story is. So he allegedly stole credit cards.
Not allegedly. Hmm? He was part of a group. He's part of a group that stole credit cards.
Convicted then.
So the reason why Bernie's going to win is because in such a crowded field, Bernie has the most committed voters. He has a great ability to raise money. He has organizations in all 50 states already because he had one the last time around. Or if he doesn't have them at this point, it's very easy for him to recreate, which is not true of the other candidates. They have to visit these states, vet people, set up orgs. They won't match Bernie's. And remember, Bernie was denied the nomination last time through shenanigans at the DNC. That's a nice way to put it. They rigged the election.
They rigged the election for Hillary at the DNC, and everybody knows it. And he rolled over and backed Hillary, and his constituents are mad as hell.
Well, they are mad. He has those committed voters. And if you look at the first two states, Iowa, he tied Hillary essentially, lost by four delegates. He won New Hampshire. I think once Joe Biden gets in the race and starts being gaffy and not good enough for the left and the way Joe Biden is, I mean, Joe Biden is the perfect non-candidate, potential candidate. And then he starts talking and nobody likes him. I mean, after all, he was a sitting vice president and didn't run in the election after his term. What does that tell you? So I think he'll fall. Bernie's got the best chance to win Iowa. He's got to win New Hampshire. And when you go 2-0 at the start of a campaign and you have org throughout the country and you have a great org in California, which is an early primary state with early voting that will start just after New Hampshire, he's going to be tough to beat. I think he's the nominee.
Everybody loves to talk about old Uncle Joe coming in because he hasn't declared yet, although he sort of hinted in a gaffe a couple days ago. But once he gets in, you know, there's more deterioration of the reputation because people start saying, oh, this, that, and the other. But what does it say, Tom, that, I mean, we can have this righteous anger that Bernie got dissed by the DNC because they were in the Hillary camp because of who knows why. But what's it say that people are, I mean, Bernie's an avowed socialist, and most of these people throwing their hats into the ring for the Democratic nomination for 2020, which is, let's say, next year. This socialism thing, does it scare you a little bit? Let's just talk about that for a minute, too.
Well, remember that I've been writing about history for countless years, and it's a progression. One of my op-eds at Fox, or you can get it at Political Vanguard, is the progression from freedom to socialism to societal discord, 9 steps. And the biggest and most important step is whether or not there's economic breakdown and mass government dependence. But as it relates to Bernie, he is a socialist. The others have socialist policies. They're going to start to lose, and their support's going to go to Bernie. It's not going to necessarily go to Joe Biden. But am I scared about socialism? Look, Sweden was smart enough to walk away from it. Its government has spent a high of 70% of GDP, meaning government checks accounted for 70% of the GDP. Now it's down to 50. And despite what Bernie's saying in AOC, Sweden doesn't consider itself socialist anymore and is moving away from it. We are only at 36% of spending. Our economy's coming back. So it is, socialism's not very appealing right now. Bernie will get the nomination, but then he will lose the general election because you're right. Most of the country isn't in on socialism.
So you still stand that in 2020, Bernie will get the nomination over O'Rourke, over Kamala Harris, over Spartacus, who's dating Rosario Dawson, got all that star power going on, Kirsten Gillibrand, all these people. You think it really, really will still be Bernie?
The more people that get in the race, the more I'm sure that Bernie's going to win because he has committed voters and they'll divide up the rest.
Interesting. All right. We're going to talk more about this after the break. Hold over Tom Delvecchio. He used to be the head of the Republican Party in California. So he was ground zero for the border crisis and all these crazy California things. He debated Kamala Harris, and he's got this take from Political Vanguard. We'll see him right back now after the break. The political headlines of the day. We are getting inundated with, what are some of the numbers we talked about earlier in the show? We have people sneaking across our border, tens of thousands of migrant families. We're on track to apprehend 100,000 this month alone. So when the Democrats say there's not a crisis, that might not necessarily be so, that we don't have a crisis. And also, the 100,000 this month alone that are coming in.
That's not a crisis for them.
Pardon, Tom Delvecchio?
That's not a crisis for them. They like that because
they get new voters. Yeah.
Well, but it's a compassion thing to them. It's about families. It's not about the violence. And you know, if you put a child on the screen, that is heart-wrenching to enough Americans. You put fentanyl on the screen, and they probably don't even quite understand it all. So this will be an issue. Look, this is going to be an issue till the end of time. This is not going away anytime soon.
It's really not. And as you see here, we showed this a little bit earlier. This is just one teeny tiny example from March 11th, 2019, where coyotes is a term you may know for people who they're paid to get people across the border. They're paid thousands and thousands of dollars to get people across the border. And they might say, yes, you're going to have a fresh new life in America, but you may die on the way. You may get raped on the way. Who knows? You may get stranded in the desert. So these coyotes, they threw two kids over the wall near San Diego to distract the Border Patrol. Then they went down about a mile and put other people over and let them sneak in. And what we saw earlier were we'll get tens of thousands of migrant families arriving. But what we found was in San Diego alone, about 140, 150 a day are being dropped off by ICE at charity venues, Catholic services, because they come here and they claim asylum. That's just San Diego. That's not like the five other big areas where people sneak across the border, Tom. And you're the head of the Republican Party in California for a while. So that's one of the ground zeros for illegal immigration. So, you know, people can say it's a manufactured crisis, but if you live in San Diego or Texas or any of these border states, you know that you see these people come. Think about it, 140 a day in San Diego alone. It makes you a little scared to raise a family here. It's just the truth of it all.
Yeah, there's no question about it. In Arizona, there's at least 36 miles of border where there's no control at all, where the drug lords control it. Mm-hmm. So if we had a balanced media, this problem would be solved. We don't have a balanced media. They continue to say there's no problem. And like I said, this is only going to change in one of two ways: a terrorist strike through the border, or when they go down and put videos at the border or behind it and demonstrate the violence. Once that gets on the screens and across America, either one of those, you'll get movement on this. In the meantime, this will be a fight all the way through to 2020, and we're going to have to see what the nominee says. Because if I'm right, the nominee is going to say, there's no reason for this, and we need these people, and he's going to say that there's no crisis. And I think enough independents agree that there's a lack of security, and so it will wind up being a net positive for Trump if he runs for re-election or when he does.
I'm a bit of a layman, but you're an expert. So there are two, well, there are two major issues with people sneaking across the border. And at the time, ICE is now saying, and Customs and Border Patrol are saying that, we used to catch one in two people. Now they're saying we catch one in three. So that's a big, that's a big problem. The first problem is terrorists sneaking across that could do anything, that could do another 9/11, that could or would, because some of those people were in San Diego. Two, the ones sneaking fentanyl, and we found out this week they're sneaking into Indian reservations and using that to sneak in fentanyl, this killer drug. And also three, I should say, the people that come in here and then we're paying our tax dollars to allow them to live here free of charge and do whatever they do. So what else, Tom? Am I missing anything?
Yeah, I think the violence against women on the way up from Central America is a travesty.
Yeah.
And it is ignored by the left in the media, just as they ignore the violence towards women in the Middle East. And history will not look kindly on that.
Be specific, Tom. What are you talking about? You're talking about the women who come here and they're going to make the trek up. They know to give their kids and themselves contraception because they expect to either trade sex or be raped to get here. What else?
Yeah, well, what kind of abuse is that? And then the other thing beyond that we need to remember is sex trafficking. The border is an important part of the chain of sex trafficking in and out of America. And those are big concerns. Drugs, national security, slave trading, sex trading. What else? How is that not of a greater concern? And the answer is because the media lets them get away with this. And as I've said time and again, I'll say it now, there will never be a Pulitzer Prize again for investigative journalism on issues that don't help the Democrats. And that's where we are right now.
You're 100% right. And just today, according to Judicial Watch, this is a new thing that came out today. Over 900,000 illegals, it's estimated, voted in the 2018 midterms just a couple months ago.
You say that? There's no voter fraud.
Yeah,
No
Russian interference. Who cares?
Yeah, look, our system is wide open for this. Why is it in Mexico you need a hologram ID card and a thumbprint to vote, but in America you don't? Oh, because it's racist to demand an ID card, except for the fact that all places where voter ID is used, as Andrew Young, the former black mayor of Atlanta, recognized, it actually improves things and the voting rate of minorities rises. And if you give away these IDs to people, as Andrew Young, the black mayor of Atlanta, said, he said, IDs are your first step into adulthood. You need them for a variety of reasons. And so this is also part of the scam. And there are many counties in this country where more people vote than are registered. And how does that happen? The answer is simple, because we have bloated rolls that aren't cleaned up. They show up to polling places, they see who hasn't voted, and they go vote. And anyone who denies that has never worked in politics or has an agenda or is just outright wrong and hurting America.
It's out of control. Tom, thank you for saying the truth about all this. You can find him at Political Vanguard. He is the author of The Divided Era, and he's a big fancy-smancy contributor to Fox and Fox Business. Tom, we'll see you next time, and we cannot thank you enough.
Alexa, make a wolf sound.
glad to have you with us for America Trends here on the U2 America TV network and on Biz Talk Radio. Won't you please follow us on our website, and then you can click right through and see everything we're doing on social media, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can follow us. We can all be friends, and it'll be just like we're catching up with each other 24/7. Podcast on Biz Talk Radio. And thank you to our guest for tonight. We had Susan Creetal telling us about some of the... She had great advice for if you're looking for your next job or looking for your next great employee. She is the purveyor of seasoned executive search and consulting. And, you know, it might seem, I don't know if it seems pricey to people, but if it really helps you put your best foot forward, might be something to invest in and look into. Ashley Allen was here. She's a celebrity stylist and fashion blogger and writer, and she was giving us the latest and greatest trends for spring. Leopard, neon, plumy sleeves. Fun stuff like that. So really fun to have her here. And Tom DelVicaro with the political headlines of the day, including Beto O'Rourke and the man whom he thinks will be the DNC or the Democratic nominee in 2020. He says it will be Bernie. So there you go. Finally, you have this trending big time today. Toy Story 4 is coming. The trailer has just dropped. It is opening June 21st, and people are getting teary at the trailer. We're going to share it with you as we head on out and say goodbye for now.
Everyone, Bonnie made a friend in class.
She's already making friends.
No, she literally made a new friend. I want you to meet Forky.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
He's a spork.
Yes, yeah, I know. Forky is the most important toy to Bonnie right now. We all have to make sure nothing happens to him.
Woody, we have a situation.
I am not a toy. I was made for soup, salad, maybe chili, and then the trash.
Buzz, we've got to get Forky.
Affirmative.
Why am I alive? You're Bonnie's toy. You are going to help create happy memories that will last for the rest of her life.
Huh? What?
Oh, yeah. Bo? Forky, come on. Bo?
Bo?
Hi there. My name is Gabby Gabby.
We can't stay.
Yes, you can, boy.
What are you doing here?
No time to explain. Come with me.
We need to get back to our kid.
Aw, Sheriff Woody, always coming to the rescue.
Bonnie needs Forky.
Woody, who needs a kid's room when you can have all of this?
Wow.
Woody, aren't we going to Bonnie?
We have to find them.
What do we do, Buzz?
What would Woody do?
Jump out of a moving vehicle.
Let's go.
Hey, you gotta go, you gotta go.
You should ever leave me. You know, you've handled this lost toy life better than I could.
Open your eyes, Woody. There's plenty of kids out there. Sometimes change can be good.
You can't teach this old toy new tricks.
You'd be surprised.
Bonnie? We're going home, Forky.
Bonnie, I'm coming!
On my way, Woody!
To infinity and beyond!
Kids lose their toys every day.
I was made to help.